Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 277, and it's also the last episode of 2023, although, of course, you may be listening to this many years in the future, going back through, listening. People often tell me they start with number one, which is an awful lot of listening, but I'm very grateful that they're doing that. There's so much to learn about dreams and dream interpretation if you listen to these podcasts. Our guest today is Kat. Kat is from British Columbia in Canada, of course, and she has a beautifully told dream which goes through several seasons. As you listen to it, because I have just recorded our conversation about her dream, so I do know what the dream is about at this stage. As you listen to it, look for recurring themes, look for recurring symbols, and particularly keep an ear out for the emotions that come up. Which part of the dream stands out to you as you listen to the dream as being particularly emotive? As always with the Dream Show, I don't know anything about the dream that the guest brings until we start recording, so you do share that experience with me of hearing the dream for the first time. I rapidly write down the dream as our guest is speaking, and then we explore the dream together to find out how it relates to the dreamer's life, what insight they can get, and if possible, and we did in this time, also apply some dream alchemy to create wonderful change in the dreamer's life. Just before we go to Kat, a reminder of the websites. My main website is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. That's where you can go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been, although of course you can also listen to it on all the usual platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. JaneTheresa.com is also where you can go to read hundreds of blogs about dreams and dreaming that I've written over many years. It's where you can go to find out about my books. It's where you can go to find out about my courses. And it's where you can go to find out how to consult me privately by Zoom, if that's what you'd like to do. And if you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, hang in there till the end of this podcast and I'll give you details for that. So let's get on with the most important part of the whole Dream Show, which is our guest, and here's Kat. Welcome to The Dream Show, Kat.
Hi. It's good to be here.
It's lovely to have you here, and I know that you are in British Columbia, in Canada, of course.
Yes.
And how's your day been there? Can you give us a little bit of a feel for British Columbia in December?
Well, today we had some snow, and it was actually very pretty, but it's not really cold like it usually is this time of year, so it doesn't stick around very long. It's kind of sloppy out there.
It's a no snowmen and snowballs kind of day.
No.
I know it's evening where you are, and thank you for doing this. And as usual, I have no idea of the dream that anyone brings, so the stage is yours, Kat.
Okay. This is kind of a big dream, and I thought it was an interesting one because it has a very defined beginning and end and middle. And so I'm just going to, there's sort of some backstory before it actually begins. The backstory part is some kind of risky, groundbreaking scientific experiment being undertaken locally does not go as planned. This dream is the aftermath of this event, but I personally feel a bit flustered and unprepared. My stepmom is the person in the beginning of the dream with me who seems to know the most about what's going on and what our objectives should be. Okay, so it starts, and I'm in the attic of my maternal grandmother's house with assorted family, but I only really remember my stepmom. It's nighttime. We're all packing and sorting through small objects, and my stepmom is trying to stay up to date with the science experiment progress. I feel unsure of what's happening and remember arranging small plants on cardboard flats, like the ones that you get at the grocery store with cans on them, just a little cardboard box. But I think of them very distinctly for some reason as cardboard flats. My stepmom tells us we have to go. She seems irritated and anxious, and there's some kind of indicator on all of our phones of dangerous radiation levels. I think my dad has a special suit on, but nobody else has anything. I feel helpless and confused. At one point, my stepmom's phone rings, but she's not nearby and it stops ringing on her way to retrieve it. She's very upset because the call she missed appears to be from the woman whose experiment failed, and this is somebody she doesn't know but is very angry with. We must have loaded and packed the items into cars and drove somewhere, but all I can remember is standing outside watching probably my dad in somebody in this special protective suit loading up a car. I keep checking my phone lock screen for the little radiation indicator, which is completely foreign to me, and I'm wondering if it's safer to be inside or if it doesn't matter. I think a much of the rest of the dream must take place a while later, some distance away. I'm no longer with my family, but this is fine. So the next part, I'm sitting in the middle of a bench in a park. It's daytime, and I'm admiring the fall leaves of the tall trees across from me. A girl approaches and asks if she can sit beside me. I tell her yes, and she sits down. She's fumbling with a few different things she's carrying and asks if I can hold her purse, to which I agree. The bag in my hands is colorful. It's natural colored cork with feathery splashes of turquoise, bits of yellow, and magenta. The front flap is more solidly turquoise, but the whole thing has a mottled, artistic appearance. The sharpened ends of pencil crayons are poking out the top, and I keep trying to poke them back in while trying to be respectful of the stranger's bag. I can't remember what, but something else the girl is carrying lets me know she does other kinds of visual art. So I comment on it in what I hope is a friendly way, but it feels awkward. Shortly after, another girl, her friend, sits on my other side. I'm studying the handbag and wondering if the girl made it. I'm about to ask her when she cuts me off to talk to her friend in Japanese, which I think is the only language the second girl speaks. The artist girl starts making a pot of tea on some kind of nearby surface, and she chats with her friend. I feel strange being in the middle. The girl hands her friend a cup of tea and then takes her bag back from me. She holds a second cup out to me, and I'm very touched. I take the tea, thank her profusely, and tell her how much it means for me to be included. But she stares it blankly at me before taking the mug back. And then I realize that she was only getting me to hold the cup while she arranges her many things. I'm crushed and embarrassed. I decide to go catch a bus and leave the two girls to chat over tea, unfazed by my leaving. The next part is in a totally different place. I'm with someone, maybe my dad or maybe my partner, but I don't see them for this part of the dream. I only know that they're driving the car that we arrive in, which is a black SUV. We take a what I think is very illegal turn off of a bridge in it's in a town, I think, close to where I grew up. But we turn off the bridge and cut across oncoming traffic to park right away and cut off a car who honks at us. And it freaks me out a lot, but I'm more like ruffled, but not shaken, I guess. And I exit the car and cross the bridge to walk on the other side of the road. I overhear two men from nearby, one recounting the witness of our risky park job to the other. As I walk, I find myself near a lot of covered parking, in which I sort of in the backs of businesses, but underneath a big covered area. The paved ground slopes towards the buildings, and there are drains in the lowest parts. I see a family exit the back door of a building just after another car is parked nearby. They look like they've come from the beach, and specifically, I remember seeing them wearing sunglasses. The father of the family shouts something like, "I saw that," and I feel panicked and guilty that he's shaming me for the park job I was involved in. But then I notice a man coming out of the recently parked car, which is next to the car the family are packing their things into. The confronted man apologizes because it seems he grazed the family's car, dinged it with his door or something that I can't see. And the two men have a very civil but loud chat about repairing the damages. I can't tell if they're shouting or if the alcove-like nature of the place is making them sound louder to me. The next part, I am inside a gas station convenience store. I must have been in a kind of back room with a couple of travel companions, but I don't know who they are. And the radio is on. It's news about the radiation, which earlier in my dream we've been creating distance from. It may even be trial coverage of the woman responsible for the disaster. I know there's a TV in the small main part of the store that will have the news channel on, but someone in the back room with me quietly warns me that there are some known conspiracy theorists in the main store who have a reputation for being loudly opinionated and confrontational. I decide to pop out into the store to see the TV and try to keep a low profile. The customer I've been warned of is indeed loudly theorizing on the subject and does attempt to engage me in conversation. I make non-committal, generally agreeable statements to placate the woman, and I steal many glances at the screen. I remember seeing numbers and statistics, but like nothing specific, about the area affected by radiation, and wonder if this is now a worldwide problem, let alone if we've traveled far enough to be safe. At some point in the dream, and I'm not totally sure when, I receive a phone call, which I ignore. My caller display shows it as being from the woman responsible for the disaster, but I don't know what to say to her, so I don't answer it. I'm aware at this point that this is just something she's doing to atone, I guess, is calling people more or less at random to apologize. I think I'm outside in a bustling park in the middle of a city walking near a river, and I might be with somebody, but it's not totally clear. Maybe a shopping companion. I don't totally know who this person is. My phone rings again from the same number, and I feel obligated to answer this time. I think my companion might encourage me to do it, but I don't remember what the phone call is like. There's another part where I am in an airport with three people around my age, so mid-30s. I don't think I know any of them, but they're not complete strangers in the dream either. We're standing with luggage near a large window. It looks like winter outside, very white and bleak. The people I'm standing with are wearing hats and scarves. The three of them are chatting about light topics and are reminiscing about movie releases. They note a weird coincidence about when the movie Life of Pi came out and how there was another movie featuring a tiger released around the same time. I don't know the other movie. I'm about to interject something about Life of Pi, but can't get a word in before the conversation moves ahead, so I stay silent. Outside the window, we start to see people walking past with luggage in the arrivals part of the airport. And many of them are dressed as Pokemon trainers and carrying bags that have been creatively transformed to look like Pokemon as well. Someone in my group remarks that there's a Pokemon convention in our current city. I think the people arriving look underdressed for the cold. And then the last part is I'm in my grandma's house, but it's my other grandma in the daytime. It seems like spring, and the sunlight streams in through all the windows, making the house very light and airy. I know I'm the only person in the house. My aunt is waiting for me in her car, and I think at least one of my cousins is with her, but I don't actually see them. We may have all arrived together, and I've just popped in on my own. I'm supposed to be gathering things to pack with me, and again, I'm putting small objects onto cardboard flats, though some of them have the pieces cut out that makes them unstable. I have a hard time knowing what things I'm supposed to bring, but I know I'm supposed to be doing it quickly. I remember small potted plants again, and maybe a round mirror. I mostly am searching the small living room and the bathroom near the door. It's, I guess, whatever. The main feeling here, though, is of being in a rush and of pretending to know what I'm doing. And that's it.
Wow, I'm just writing the last bit down. In a rush and pretending to know what I'm doing. Thank you, Kat. That was beautifully told. It's a long dream, and you had us engaged in everything that was happening, which was really lovely, and lots of repetitive themes and lots of questions. So I'm going to probably jump all over it, not start at the beginning, and just ask you some questions to get some feelings and come into there. But first of all, how long ago was the dream?
This is a dream I had on the night of October 19th.
Right. And we're now, if people listening in, we're actually recording this in the middle of December. So we're going back a couple of months. So this is dreamers possibly reflecting what was happening for you then. Mm. There were several cardboard flats.
Yeah.
Just so we're sure, is that like when you've got a piece of cardboard and you've got holes like to put coffee cups in and things? Is that what it is?
No, I don't know why I thought of them like this, because I don't usually even think of them at all. But just like in the, well, I don't know, just a little tray, I guess. Okay. There are edges on it, but it's just a small, I can't.
Yeah, no, there you did it well. A small cardboard tray. And what, just being totally imaginative, in what kind of situations in life would people choose to use a cardboard little tray like that?
I mostly just think of, I see them in grocery stores carrying a bunch of cans. That's so it's almost the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, so usually something where you've bought something, you've chosen something, and you're carrying it from A to B. Sure. It's just kind of a way of getting there. And the other thing, there were also at least a few bags. There was a beautiful artist bag, and I loved your description of that. There was the bags that the Pokemon trainers had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Was there another bag as well, or was that it?
I can't think of another one.
Yeah. So there's bags, there's packing, there's things going in things or on things, there's sorting, a lot of that going on. And there's a lot, you know, the other obvious theme going through this is what is risky, what has happened, what is safe, where am I safest? Is it something really big that's happened? How do I feel about this? And a lot of changing people as well. One bit that I love a lot of this dream, Kat, but it's really interesting that a lot of the characters in the early part of the dream are people that you know, your stepmom, your dad, people like that. And then we get to that part on the park bench where a woman comes along and she's like the first one, I really don't know this woman. Yeah. And then there's another woman on the other side. And then that's also where this bag gets all the attention because it's got so much detail. It's so rich. It's so different. It's almost like moving out of the kind of everyday nature, even though something drastic's happened, the everyday nature of the rest of the dream into this kind of like almost surreal, highlighted, colourful, different kind of section, wasn't it? Yeah. Ignoring the Pokemon people for the moment. And sometimes that happens when people are unknown in the dream. It happens when we are processing whatever it is we have to process through this dream and we come across a part where we begin to see things differently or begin to encounter a part of our own beliefs or our mindset that we haven't encountered before. And we really open to that. And although that situation on the bench had some really lovely bits and also some really awkward bits, it had that feel of this is you, okay, this is the part in the dream where we get to know something deeper about you, Kat, and we really go into some feelings here and some details. So I really later on want to come and really focus on that bit. Yeah. And that beautiful bag with the pencils, remember the coloured pencils all sharpened and poking out? And it's just occurring to me that you called her the artist and the artist bag. And my goodness, she was an artist with all those colours and you must be an artist at some level too because of the description with the bag and everything. And yet the background to the whole dream you said was kind of more of a science thing. It was a science experiment gone wrong.
Yeah.
So straight up I'm thinking at one level we've got a science thing has gone wrong. And yet we have this recurring theme through the dream where these more arty things come out, but you try to poke them back. Like, I don't want these pencils in my life. I'm going to just poke those back for the moment. Wow. So I'm wondering whether there are many themes through this. And I'm wondering whether one of them is either specifically about, well, you know, we should be scientific and logical about this, that and the other, but I really want to be the artist, but I better not show that. Or whether it's more like there's the scientific, rational way of going about things. And then there's this other more uncertain, open, flowing, artistic side. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. So I'm wondering if at the time of the dream there was any kind of conflict within you about these two kind of approaches to life.
Weirdly, in a very small way, yeah, there was. Like, I don't know. The thing I think is weird about this dream is when I've thought about the time right before it, I was not sure why I had a dream like this at all. It seemed like nothing strange or troubling or anything was going on. But like, yeah, the only thing that I was focusing on would definitely have something to do with that.
Okay. And what were you focusing on it in a comfortable way or was there a sort of conflict for you at that time?
Can I just say like what was going on? It's so dumb.
If you're comfortable with it, that's really great.
Yeah. I was making costumes for a Halloween party.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to do it in the first place, but I was trying to just feel okay with doing something creative, and I didn't want to get it wrong and stuff. It was something more for my partner, and yeah, I don't know. There were moments in the couple days before where I was doing parts of this in a way that felt very creative and good. Like I was actually coming up with ideas myself and trying things out. And then just like the day before I had this dream, I was very frustrated. A lot of things I was trying were not going the way I was hoping they would. And then I had to undo them and it just felt like a huge waste of time. And I started wondering why I even was putting myself through it when I didn't want to do it in the first place. It's just frustrating. But I mean, that was it.
Yeah. And dreams can process something like that if it brings up a lot of frustration and emotion. Mm-hmm. And on one level, that will be it. And there will be deeper mm-hmm. levels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I'm hearing you say there is that one thing is that you did it to try to please your partner or to follow through on a suggestion from your partner, and you didn't really want to do it. But until it sort of started to go wrong, there are pockets of it that you were really enjoying.
Yes.
Yeah. And you were thinking maybe I could be artistic. It kind of fits in with the Pokemon costumes too, because you mentioned costumes there, didn't you? Yeah, so costumes again. And yet, probably at a much deeper level, for such a big dream to come up and address this, it's saying, yeah, but it's deeper than this, but it's the same kind of feeling. Yeah. So I'm not an artist. Well, I'm a writer. I don't know if that's an artist, but I'm not the kind of artist that you're describing there. But I imagine that when you set about, you can set about art by having a plan. You know, this is what the costume's going to look like. This is what the picture's going to look like, and do it that way. And I can imagine that probably better artists probably start with an idea and it may morph as they go and sort of change under their fingers and create something. Would you say that in life you are comfortable with taking on a project when you don't know all the parameters, or does that make you feel uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just taking on these Halloween costumes actually sort of threw you into that not only artistic territory, but hey, you're going to try something that you're going to have to make it up a bit as you go along, and you're going to feel uncomfortable about it. And it wasn't just about taking on the project. It was actually maybe looking at this whole other areas of your life where maybe you could, not just in terms of art, but other things, I don't know, your job, science, how you look, how you dress, relationships, absolutely everything. The dream is questioning, what if you were dove into things with less planning or with less concern about how things might turn out? How would that be?
Yeah, that's actually something I don't remember how long ago, but certainly since then, it's something I've been thinking about a lot.
Right,
and trying to try new things more. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
See,
just go with the flow.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I love that in any case, but I also love that at some level, whether or not you understood the dream, it's already been percolating and you've been trying to take more risks, so to speak. So you can sort of see, based on what you're saying, that as you say, the background of the dream, just looking back at my notes, was that something risky, there'd been a groundbreaking science experiment that was risky, but it kind of went wrong. That was the background to the whole thing, right? So the groundbreaking scientific experiment might have been you breaking boundaries and doing things differently and being worried about them. So often the start of a dream, even though that was the background, but then the start, as you told the story, was that your stepmother knew the objectives. And then I'm looking back, then you're in the attic and you're packing. Okay. So the beginning of a dream will often state the situation or the issue or the theme of the dream that the rest of the dream goes on to explore. So we could say from the background that this whole dream wants to explore the situation of what if something is planned, like the scientific experiment, and it doesn't go according to plans? Or what if I take a risk and it turns out differently, and the rest of the dream goes on to explore that at all levels in your life?
Yeah.
And it does in many ways. So then the next part of the dream will often bring in some of the questions or problems around that. And the first person it brings in is your stepmom. And you've described her as someone who knows the objectives, did you say?
She's the one who, you know, I think she was telling us to pack things up, and she seemed to be the most informed about what was going on.
Right. So she was informed about what had gone wrong as well as about what to do to overcome it, or?
I guess so. I think really at the very beginning of the dream, the experiment was probably underway, and she was keeping up to date with it. And so right at the beginning is kind of when, I guess, the news came through or whatever. She realized that it had failed, and she had been preparing to I don't know, keep us all safe or something.
To keep you safe, okay. Yeah. If you were to describe your stepmother in three words that would describe her personality or approach to life, which words would you choose?
I definitely would use prepared. Prepared, organized. It's hard on the spot. Wow.
That's okay. Prepared and organized is a good start. We'll go with those. It can be very helpful to look at everyone in a dream as representing some part of yourself, either a part of yourself you're really aware of or a deep, deep unconscious shadow part. But just based on those two words, how much would you say that you are a person who is generally prepared and organized?
It feels like a fairly, yeah, that it's significant enough that I could draw comparison. To me, yeah.
So the beginning of the dream, it's almost drawing on, okay, there's a part of myself that even though I'm feeling risky and I'm feeling unsure, things aren't going the way that I planned, whether that's a Halloween costume or whether it's at a deeper level of just how I feel about taking risks in life or artistic risks in life. There's a part of myself I know I can call on. I'm going to picture as my stepmom in a dream. It's a part of myself I know can plan and be organized and knows what to pack and knows what to do. And in many ways, it's kind of like the scientist part as well, isn't it? It's like, yeah, this is what we're going to do. And so we bring that part of yourself in. Part of yourself knows the objective. So I guess that from there on, and wants to keep you safe. So whenever any of us steps out of comfort zone or decides to do something differently, our old mindset would go, oh, don't do that. You've got to stay safe. Oh, don't step out of comfort zone. Oh, no, what are you going to do? We've got to protect you. So it may be almost like there's a stepmom part of yourself, the planning, organized bit that knows the objectives, is trying to say, don't do it. Don't make the Halloween costumes. Don't take on something that's riskful. Don't go artistic. Don't step out of your comfort zone. Stay here. I'll tell you what to do. We're just going to pack up. Just do things one at a time. And you kind of go down that track. Just looking at my notes, and lots of packing going on. And that's the first time that the cardboard flats make their appearance and you're arranging plants on them.
Yes.
So tell me a bit about the plants. Where did you feel they came from? Were they in the house already?
I think there was just, feels kind of like there was just piles of things lining the walls in the attic room. And those were the types of things I was sort of picking out. I don't know what else was really there.
No, but you do particularly remember the plants.
Yes.
Yeah. Were they flowery plants, cacti type plants, baby plants, grown up plants?
They were sort of fully grown, but very small. And I think I just think of them as houseplants, not necessarily flowering, just lots of leaves.
Okay, that's lovely. So, everything in a dream, once again, represents something about the dreamer. So what you described there, the first thing you described was fully grown but quite small. I'm not saying that you're small. Fully grown but quite small, and houseplants belong in the house. And, of course, a house, again, is, a comfort zone as well. So they may or may not relate to some part of myself that I feel is fully developed and fully grown, and yet quite vulnerable because they're quite small. And I'm going to take them out of this comfort zone of house and go outside, but I do want to take these with me. So there may or may not be a sense of there's something in my life that I have been nourishing and growing and thought was complete. But on reflection, I want to maybe take that growing or that growth outside of my comfort zone and grow some more, become bigger, make it bigger. Maybe even take it out of the domestic environment, bring something out into the open more. And the sense that they were also in the attic, what do we use the attic for usually in a house?
I normally would say storage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So iCat maybe had some ideas that I've put into storage that were I feel were fully grown, and yet I kind of really want to bring these out into the open because I feel like I could make much more of them. But at that point in the dream, when I'm looking back at my notes, you were feeling anxious about the possibly dangerous radiation levels. You were feeling helpless and confused. Yeah. So there's that sense of what you described about making the Halloween costume, you help us and confused could fit some aspects of that as well.
Sure.
Yeah. But dangerous about the radiation levels. Talk to me a bit about radiation levels, just what comes to the top of your mind.
That was a really strange one for me. I don't know.
What does radiation do to you?
I guess on an extreme sort of level, it mutates you.
It mutates you, yeah. Usually for bad, but you chose the word mutates, which of course just means change, transforms. Yeah. So you're worried, if I take this part of myself out into the outside world beyond comfort zone, I'm really worried about how it will change me. Will it change me for the worse, which is my worst fear? Or maybe, who knows, it might change me for the better, or it might not change me at all. But I'm worried that there's going to be, I guess, a negative mutation, a radioactive thing. I'm worried that something's going to happen that's going to be permanently damaging for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And that's where in the dream, your dad appears in his protective suit, loading the car. So we're still trying to get away, and we've got the protection kind of thing. What three words would you use to describe your dad, personality-wise?
He's inventive. He's kind of goofy. And I guess just lost in thought, in his head a lot.
In his head a lot. When he's in his head a lot and lost in thought, where does that generally go? Does that generally result in something creative and different and unusual, or does it get lost?
Yes.
It does, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, he would be the ideal person to get the artist sharpened colored pencils out of the bag and do something artistic. And he's prepared to sort of lose him. Oh, yeah. He's prepared to not necessarily be planned and organized, but to lose himself in ways which may then result in something original and new and different coming out.
Yeah. That's a good way to think of it, yeah.
Yeah. In the dream, he's kind of going out there and doing that, but he's also wearing the protective suit. So again, that's a part of yourself that could be potentially like your dad, but you're still adding a level of protection because you're not completely sure. What if I go and just let things happen, take this out there? How much do I need to protect it? How safe am I? How will this work? And that's where you end up on this lovely bench. And even though all these wonderful things happen in the dream, it's the bench bit that really draws my attention.
Yeah.
So in the bench, so you said you were in a park, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was the park like?
I remember it wasn't very big. And I was sat on a bench that I think had probably some trees behind me. And in front of me, there was some green space and maybe a path and very tall trees, maybe birch or something, that with lots of orange leaves. It wasn't super far. And then I don't know, that was pretty much all I could see from where I was sitting.
And before the woman arrived, how did it make you feel sitting in the park in the fall like that?
It was peaceful and I just was really enjoying, I think, the solitude of it. And
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, just peaceful.
So so this part of the dream, really, with all the other questions of risk and safety and what do I want to do, kind of then drew your attention to, actually, I really do like solitude and I like peace. Yeah. And what if I did step out and grow something bigger in the outer world or take a few risks? Yeah, maybe on one level, that's what I want to do. But, you know, on the other level, I really, 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 really like solitude and a sense of peace.
Yep. Yeah.
So what, as the dream goes on to explore, how can I do both of these? Or do I need one or the other? Is this dream reflecting my values back to me? Or can I create something from this? And that's when the unknown female sits to on your right side? Or did I just imagine that?
I don't know if I said, but she was on my left.
She was on your left, okay.
Yes.
So the left side in a dream will often, it's a funny thing. Often it reflects your right brain because the nerves cross over from the right brain to the left.
Right.
And therefore kind of more like your inner world. Mm-hmm. So, but that's a bit, you know, a bit too specific and rigid, but we'll go with that for the moment. But the thing is, she sits there while you're admiring the four leaves. So on the one hand, you're admiring the solitude and the peace. I wonder if on another level you're witnessing change, you know, leaves fall off trees in order for new growth to begin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What does the orange color mean to you?
I just makes me think of looking out my own window. There's a tree outside that in the fall, it's really gorgeous. And it just makes me feel very happy. It's just so vibrant.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah. It's a vibrant, happy, peaceful, a place mm-hmm. that I really enjoy being, a place that ideally all of us want to occupy at all levels in our lives, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So that's a really good touch point. But she sits down and she wants you to hold her phone. Remind me how you felt when she asked you to hold her phone.
It's her purse. I just felt like I wanted to help her. I was being helpful. But it was slightly awkward because I wasn't, you know, it's a very personal item to hand to a stranger. So yes. I felt I had to be very respectful and careful, I guess.
I love that, absolutely. So if she was a part of yourself, it's you meeting a part of yourself that is a little bit unknown to you because your dreamy mind didn't go, oh, this is like my dad or my stepmom or certain mm-hmm. friend. It was a character. Meeting a part of yourself that you that is very personal, that just from your description of the purse, it's very personal, and that you want to make sure that you deeply respect.
Okay. Yeah.
To meet such an aspect of yourself in a dream is truly amazing. To meet a part of yourself that is that beautiful and you want to respect. So it's kind of like, I almost as if this part of Kat appears in the dream is, oh my goodness, is there a part of myself like that? Am I worthy of respecting and honoring this part of myself? Had that kind of feel for it, which was just gorgeous. And then, of course, there was all the beautiful colors. You said them so quickly, I wrote down turquoise, yellow, magenta, yeah. Artistic, yeah. So when you picture those colours swirling around, or you picture the colours of the bags of the on the whole, what kind of personality or emotion did that purse give you?
I think the way that they were sort of feathered together on this was like a natural cork. It was very... it just felt really light and but like adventurous and... it just felt joyful.
That's lovely. Light, adventurous, and joyful. There's a part of myself, Kat, that I'm just beginning to reach out and notice, which is light, joyous, and adventurous, that I maybe don't always sense and I maybe don't always bring outside, but it is something that is occurring to me while I'm having this dream as a way of... or a possibility, even though I feel like I'm taking great risks and need protection, there's this lovely part of myself, light, adventurous, joyful, that I could get in touch with. And of course, you know, a purse is, as you say, a place for keeping really personal stuff. So this is really getting in touch with a really beautiful part of yourself. And according to the dream, this is where the pencil crowns that you kept poking back in. Oh, yeah, this lovely part of myself is actually quite artistic in nature as well. But we won't have any of that. We'll just poke that back inside for the moment. You saw her as a visual artist. That's what I wrote down.
Yeah.
And yet something felt awkward. What felt awkward there?
I feel like when I was trying to talk to her, none of my words were coming out the way I wanted them to. And she kind of didn't, she wasn't really meeting me halfway with that. I felt just socially inept.
Yes, yeah. So what you've got there is a sense of, even though it's a part of yourself, I'm not quite sure how to communicate with this part of myself. Yeah. I'm not sure if I let this part of myself really blossom in my life, how I would express it, whether I would be able to express it, not just talking, but can I really sort of form, I guess, words or feelings around it. I feel socially inept about it. I'm not sure how I would handle these artistic abilities or how I would handle this sense of lightness and adventurousness and joyfulness. How would I handle it? How would people accept me? Would I feel socially inept if I went out into the world with my current friends, my current work people, whatever, and I showed them this part of my personality? How would I feel about that? Would I feel inept at some level? Mm-hmm. How would you feel?
Yeah, it's it's hard to imagine.
All change is hard to imagine because, you know, we show ourselves to a certain people or group of people, and then we wonder about how they're going to respond to us if we change differently. And our own conscious mind has the same feeling about us changing, as we've mentioned before. Another female sits on the other side, and they spoke a different language, but I didn't quite hear what language you said it was.
Japanese.
Okay. So what do you feel about Japanese as a language, or do you have any association with Japanese language or people or culture?
Not really anything. I don't know. When I was a little kid, my grandparents, there was a Japanese girl who came to live with them for a while, and I remember her a little bit, but I was told a lot of stories about how I was helping her to learn English, and we would draw pictures and things together. But I don't know beyond that. I think you
got it beautifully there. You couldn't communicate in spoken language, so you drew pictures.
Yeah.
And you're just after saying that, you know, I couldn't communicate. I couldn't find the words to talk to the visual artist. I felt socially awkward. And your dream is saying, yes, but there was a time in your past where, with a Japanese nudge, where you actually communicated through drawings, not through words.
Mm.
Oh. Yeah, so art, whether it's hard art, as in pencils and papers, or whether it's a kind of more right brain approach to things, or whether it's creativity in general, you're part of yourself and your dreaming mind is reminding yourself that there is a world beyond logical words, beyond science, where you can actually communicate very effectively because you were able to do that as a child, for example, with the Japanese girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is beautiful and amazing. And then, just reading my writing again, so the artist girl then gets out tea and you feel awkward in the middle. You kind of feel between this. Why did you feel, before she gave the tea, why did you feel awkward about being in the middle?
Just because they were speaking to each other in Japanese and I couldn't understand them, and I felt like I was sort of in their way.
Okay, all right. So the part of myself that is not the artist that wants to poke the pencils back into the bag kind of feels in the way of having a potentially artistic, creative flow kind of language or life.
Mm.
Yeah. And then there's that really sad bit, which I think I'm sure all the listeners felt when they gave you the cup of tea and you're going, oh, that's so much, that's so meaningful, it means so much to be included. And then it turned out she only wanted you to hold a cup. That is terrible. That is so sad. But of course, all the dream, there was no Japanese person, there was no person being mean to you. All this story came from your own dreaming mind and is giving us insight into your mindset. So there's a part of yourself there, I guess, that you highlighted it. It was so emotional. I want to feel included, and I want to feel a sense of meaningfulness, and I want to feel meaningfully included, and I'm going to add in life or whatever I do.
Yeah.
And then another part of yourself says, oh, well, you can't do that, can you? I mean, you know, you just got to give the cup back. It was never about that in the first place. But there's a reaching out there for wanting to be included in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that bringing up any thought or feeling for you at the moment of around October time about wanting to be included in a meaningful way?
I don't really think so.
No.
No. I would say no.
No, that's good. Would you say that the part of yourself that might be the artist and might want to enter into the creative flow might be asking to be included into your life in a meaningful way?
yes, that yes. sounds closer.
Yeah, that's right. Whereas perhaps the scientific planning, organized scientific part of yourself is maybe not feeling so meaningful or inclusive.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe, I don't know. It's just a suggestion. Yeah.
No, I understand that for sure.
Yeah. I'm just moving on to the next bit. So then your dad or a partner come back in and they're driving a black SUV and you make a very illegal turn off a bridge close to your childhood home. That childhood town, was that where you lived when you did the drawings for the Japanese girl, or was that somewhere else?
That was the same place.
Okay. So was that like all your childhood that you were there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
So often in a dream where you suddenly come upon your childhood home, it's often taken you back to compare the experiences you've had in the last couple of days before the dream to your distant past to see what in the distant past is influencing what's happening for me now. And of course, this happens for all of us. You know, it's the beliefs and experiences that we have in childhood that really form our foundation mindset. And no matter what happens in our life today, it can be really difficult to go back and change those. And that's in a dream where we'll often go back to a childhood home or be aware of it. It's like your dreamy mind going, this stems back to those days. Right. So okay, we're going to find out exactly what that is. But a black SUV, what kind of personality or associations do you have with a black SUV?
I don't have any real associations with them, but I would say they seem mysterious and kind of imposing. I think a lot of, I don't know, TV shows and things where they're just a kind of a scary car.
Yeah, okay. It's scary, mysterious, can't see through them. Yeah. Imposing. Okay, so we've gone from this idea of wanting to be meaningfully included in a your artistic self wanting to be more meaningfully included in life and in the creative flow, to then bringing in this imposing, mysterious thing like, oh, well, what do you expect from that? We have an illegal turn. We do something wrong here again. Cut across the traffic, cut off people. You're ruffled but not shaking, which is good, and you walk outside, which is good. So effectively, there may or may not be something there about when you were a child, were you told that it was bad to make change or cut off other people or cut off a circumstance or cut off an opportunity or basically change course? Is your dreaming mind referring to something about a change of course and a cutting off in childhood?
I don't know.
No, okay.
Nothing's coming up, no.
Yeah. It may be along the lines of, I want to make some changes in my life, but it would feel like doing a major cutting off, like doing something illegal, doing something wrong. Not really illegal, but as far as your comfort zone is concerned, you can't do something like that. You can't make a U-turn in your life. You can't change. You can't go from being organized and planning to doing something completely different. Something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Which may make sense to you later when you reflect upon this, Kat. Okay. And then you refer to that as the risky parking job. And it did occur to me when you were in the park and I was thinking, oh, we've got parking issues later. I don't know whether there's a connection between park and parking, but I think that's maybe a coincidence. But you see, you basically see lots of other parking underneath businesses across the road. And it looks like somebody is shaming you because he comes out and says, I saw that. But then you realize he wasn't referring to your risky parking. He was talking to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that man he was talking to, you were wondering whether they were too loud. Can you go over that little bit?
Just when the two of them were talking, I thought they were going to fight, but they had a really just a very pleasant, civil conversation about the small accident, I guess. And it sounded very loud, and I couldn't tell if they were shouting or if it was just sort of echoing in this space they were in.
Okay, that's absolutely beautiful. So essentially, no matter how loud it was, essentially they started with something that could have been confrontational, and they came to, they negotiated an agreement, and everything turned out okay. And yeah. I forget the exact word you used, but you said, oh, the accident, they what you just said to me just now, in Not Off Your Dream, and you said something about they were discussing the accident, the small accident, I think you said, something like that. Okay. And I thought, oh, this is good. This is the small accident, as opposed to at the beginning of the dream, the almighty global risky explosion or whatever it is. Okay. So at this point, your dreamy mind still grappling with the, remember, the beginning of the dream is grappling with possibly great big change, and how do I feel about this? And it's now got to a point of actually being able to negotiate something. And instead of seeing something as potentially huge radiation, groundbreaking change, it's now seeing a change that's actually negotiable and possible. And that's possibly between the imposing black SUV kind of feeling and whoever the other guy was with the businesses. Is there a sense here of... people that have businesses negotiating with something imposing to maybe come out with something that's going to be artistic and work nicely. Are you involved in any businesses or thinking about businesses?
Not really, no.
Yeah. When you saw the covered parking with all the underneath businesses, what kind of businesses were they?
I don't really know, because they were just backs, like the business fronts were all on the outside of the area, and I couldn't see what they were. So it was just, I had no idea what they were.
The back end, almost the private end of things.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then we go there to the gas station or store. And well, we're in the back room there. So after being in the back end of the parking lots, we're in the back end here. So there's a lot of sort of looking at the back end of things, what's behind things. And this is essentially where there was a radio news about the radiation, but you wanted more information, you wanted the TV, but in order to see the TV, you possibly had to confront the conspiracy theorist woman.
Yeah.
But you still went in. You still went in.
I did.
Yeah. And how did you feel about that?
It didn't even seem like, I don't know, like when the person in the back room with me sort of warned me, I kind of thought like, oh, you know, this, I'm not going to talk with anybody out there. I just want to see the TV. It's not a big deal.
Great. Fantastic. So we've gone from the beginning of the dream where there's a sort of potential catastrophes, which you were worried about going outside and needed to be protected, to now the sense of, oh, someone's warning you about going out there, but you go, no, that's no big deal. That's okay. So whatever's happened in your mindset, you're negotiating, instead of this idea of going out into the world in some kind of way that is very confronting and possibly risk-taking in a way that is totally worrying, you've gone to, no, I can deal with that. I can, let me go out and have a look. I can deal with this. I can see things. You're becoming more and more softened, perhaps by the idea of meeting the part of yourself that was enjoy the peace, the adventuresome, the lightness, the joyful, the artistic, the more going with the flow. Some of those kind of feelings is giving you the sense now of I can negotiate my way through this like the man in the car park did with the black SUV. And therefore, I don't feel that life is as calamitous as it was. I'm actually okay to go out. This is moved from being a little accident even into something that I can handle, because I just want to find out more information. I want to see the TV.
Oh.
Yeah. So sometimes just finding out more information can be what we need, rather than getting worried about what calamities may occur. If I can just find out a bit more information. And then you're asking, is this a worldwide problem or am I safe? Have we gone far enough? So you're trying to get a feel for how big or small is this. I'm gathering information on that. And that's when you then get the phone call from the woman responsible for the original disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And she's calling people at random to a tone, you said.
Yeah.
So you're getting in contact with a part of yourself that at the beginning of the dream you felt had created some huge disaster. And instead, again, you're beginning to communicate and negotiate and perhaps atone, but basically find a way to see the situation through different eyes, to negotiate, to communicate.
Yeah.
I wrote down river. Were you at a river then?
I was next to a river.
Right. And earlier on, you mentioned going with the flow.
Yeah, I do remember saying that.
Yeah, so maybe this river then is about, okay, now I can go with, I'm prepared more to, rather than go with the black and white of a great disaster that is irreversible, I can now go more with a sense of flow and everything's negotiable if I know that my ultimate aim is that meaningful connection, what was the word? I wrote it down. Being included, inclusive, meaningful connection, light, adventurous, joyful. Now I know those are things that I want. I can perhaps negotiate how I want to be in the world on every level rather than thinking that everything is a huge disaster if I get it wrong. Is this relating? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so when you're by the river, your phone rings and you feel obligated to answer, but you don't remember what happened after that. Okay, yeah.
No, I just know that I did.
You did. That's good. So you took a step. You weren't put off answering, which is good. Then you're at the airport. Do you think you were at the airport to go somewhere or to meet people or any idea why you were at the airport?
I know I had been there for a long time and I know I had luggage and so did the people with me, so that's another bag. But I think if I had to think about it now, it seemed like we were waiting to go somewhere, but maybe we're delayed. In the dream, I don't know, we were just standing around talking. We'd been there for a long time.
That's lovely. So there's somewhere in my life where I've been waiting to go somewhere, not necessarily geographically, but go to some new place in my life. I've been waiting here for a long time and I've got everything that I want to take with me and I'm not quite sure why it's not happening yet, but I'm really waiting to perhaps take off. That's what one does in a plane. One takes off to go somewhere new. Three people your age, all in their, which you said is mid-30s. So that's bringing us right to your current, it's not looking back or forward. It's saying, this is now, this is now. You're at the airport. Are you going to do this? You've been waiting long enough. Are you going to take off or what? And what was that? Oh, there was cold outside. There were hats and scarves. I can't read my... Oh, the life of Pi. Oh, my goodness. This is, yes. So there's all this waiting. And then somebody mentions not only the life of Pi, but also another tiger movie.
Yeah.
So talk to me about... in a few sentences, what you got from reading or watching A Life of Pi?
Well, I have never seen the movie. I did read it in high school, and I don't remember it very well. And I haven't really thought about it for a long time.
No.
I can't even for sure say what happens. I know there's a tiger on a boat.
That's
or a rafter. Yeah,
that's the beginning. Yeah, it was a it was a kind of allegory of philosophy of life.
Okay,
but the bit that you've remembered is a tiger on a boat, and obviously, just knowing that they set off on this probably unknown journey. Maybe I think it was on an ocean, but if we're going with the flow of life, it could be going with the flow of the ocean too. And then another tiger movie is referenced. So we've got a double reference to tiger. So in your mind's eye, what's the personality of a tiger and or what's the personality of Pi, tiger?
I think of a tiger. I know that I'm probably afraid of them. Dangerous. But like... in a way that, I don't know, they're really amazing to look at. But, just fierce and sort of in a way that I think must be kind of a quiet, sort of hidden type of way.
Oh, I love that. A quiet, hidden type of way. And as you've said, you like to be, you like solitude. Perhaps there's a quiet, hidden part of yourself that you're thinking, if I bring my quiet, hidden part of myself out into the world, will it roar like a tiger? Do I need to be really frightened of it? Everything in a dream is a part of the dream. So there's a part of yourself that has a tiger instinct or a tiger energy. And often our dreams will picture animals rather than people when we can't quite get a conscious handle on what this energy is.
Okay.
And even though you can't remember much about reading the book at school, unconsciously you'll have remembered it all. So there may be something about the philosophy of life or meaningfulness. It might be worth going back, Kat, and actually reading the book.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a short book from memory. And then asking yourself, you know, if I feel it's that question. If I get on the plane, I've been waiting a long time in my life to do this thing, but will it be like letting the tiger out of the bag kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will I be ferociously amazing? You also described the tiger as amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and yet it's an incredibly silent, solitude kind of feeling. But if I express this in the world, how will it be? How will it be presented? But in the dream, you couldn't get a word in. I wrote down, couldn't get a word in with the people. So again, it's that conflict between I can't feel like I've got to communicate using words, whereas maybe there's another way to communicate in feeling, in art, in emotion, in tigers, in whatever it is.
Okay.
I don't have to put tight words on everything. I can influence by the way that I am. You know, I think the tiger in Life of Pi probably spoke English or Indian. I can't remember. But essentially, it was a tiger getting across its message without necessarily speaking. How do I communicate in the world? So we're almost at the end of the dream, but Pokemon. Talk to me about Pokemon. Why would Pokemon come in at this stage?
It's so weird. I do not know. And it's something I grew up with, I guess. Always sort of a part of my life from a fairly young kid. Even a little bit into now, you know, it's just something that's remained popular. And I don't not like Pokemon things.
What do they feel like personality for you wise, or what does Pokemon do for you?
I guess it's sort of a sense of adventure. It's a lot of kids going out and battling and catching and making friends and I don't know.
Yeah.
Going out in the world and really being independent.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you also used the word adventure again there too.
Yeah.
So we've got going out in the world, being independent, adventure. We've got in Life of Pi, the tiger goes out into the world for adventure. We've got references earlier on when you re-listen to this podcast later about adventure. I think it was in the park you were feeling the light adventure.
Yeah.
So there's definitely this. What is the difference between, I'm not asking you to answer this question, but what is the difference between going out in life and it being, oh, this risk is so big, it's like a catastrophic radio, nuclear explosion, or is it a great adventure? And if it's a great adventure, why aren't I getting on that plane? And then we get to your grandma's house at the end. Mm-hmm. Describe that grandma's personality to me or your associations with her.
She is, she knows how to, what am I trying to say? I look up to her a lot. She is very, environmentally conscious and knows how to take care of so many things, like, independent in her life, I guess. And and she's fun and kind. I just like the way that I don't know. She was a huge part of my childhood, and I think I think I take after her in a lot of ways, and I aspire to sort of follow a lot of things. I admire that she always took care of like I don't know the house and just like all the these small things in such an effortless kind of way. And I love that she's so dedicated to environmentalism. And I
That's
don't know what else to
yeah, no, that's
say.
absolutely beautiful. You've said so much. It's absolutely gorgeous. She's dedicated. It sounds like she goes with the flow with things. She really appreciates the small things in life, which when everything comes down to it, those are the meaningful those are the meaningful things in life. That's the sense of belonging. Being in touch with the small meaningful thing, small details of life. And yet, I think you also used the word adventurous or something close to that for her as well.
I don't remember what I said.
Yeah.
It could have been something similar,
Yeah, something
but
about going out. But it sounds to me like you're accessing the part of yourself there, like the end result of the dream is okay, we've been through all these scenarios. There's been some real shifts in the dream, which explains why you said earlier that since the dream, you have actually been trying to go more with the flow. We've seen these shifts of negotiation and changes of perspective through the dream. And it ends with, in my opinion, so you could be more like your grandma, couldn't you? You already say that you're very like her, but it's bring more of that out. And the fact that it's springtime there, whereas it was fall earlier in the dream, like suddenly it's spring. Something new is growing here. Something new is growing within me with cat, within cat. This here is what the energy I want to get in touch with. This is it. Just reading what else I wrote. We get the cardboard flats again. So maybe moving on in some way, not sure about those cardboard flats, we'll come back. What to bring? Gosh, I wish I could read this. I need to do. Oh, so again, it was a plant and a round mirror. And you're in a rush and pretending to. Oh, I can't read that last bit. What does it say?
Pretending to
Pretending
know
to
what I'm
know what I'm
doing.
doing, that's it. Okay. Probably in life, most of us pretend to know what we're doing. Because, the only way that you can change and progress in the world is to step out and do things that you don't know what you're doing. So even if you're doing a formal course, like you're learning something, you're learning it in order to, at the end of it, know what you're doing. And so life is about. Perhaps we all shouldn't pretend to look like we know what we're doing. We should just say, hey, I'm going to try this. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm really interested to see how it turns out. And I love your this round mirror. Can you tell me a little bit, probably the last one I'm going to ask you, about what you felt about that round mirror in the dream?
Honestly though, the mirror is something I'm only sort of sure was in the dream. I'm just it was something more like I remember packing up the plants and when I thought about it when I woke up, it made me think of other things I've put into little boxes, and I remembered when I moved into the place that I'm living now. There were a couple of mirrors on the wall that were left behind, and we didn't want to keep them all. So I had packed them into a box to donate, and one of them is what came to mind
Okay,
just when
that's
I was
great.
thinking about the dream.
All right, I love that. So it's less a sense of packing something you wanted to keep. It was like in real life, in waking life, it was like packing something away that I don't need, putting things in boxes. So it was about making choices at the end, what I do want to take with me and what I don't want to take with me. It's a long and wonderful dream, and we've explored lots of little bits of it. And I know when you stop speaking to me, and also when you listen to this podcast, when it goes out, a lot more will come to you. But sitting here right now, without thinking too hard, what is the main thing that you've taken from our exploration of your dream?
I'm kind of blown away actually by just how much it kind of is reflecting things I'm thinking about all the time lately, maybe for months and months. Just the whole thing about learning to embrace creativity and just trying things. And I didn't realize that this dream was so centered on that sort of theme. It's I'm kind of I can't even put it into words. It's amazing to realize that, because I would have thought that I would be able to tell.
That is really lovely. And I like what you said there, but I can't even put it into words, because to me, that means you're taking it on at a very deep level that hasn't actually become entirely conscious to a level where you can put words on it. So it's sort of playing back to some of the things we were saying earlier about expressing without necessarily having the words. It doesn't matter, the
Yes.
change is still there.
I like that a lot too. That stuck with me as a sort of new idea. That's something I, yeah, now I'm going to be thinking about that for sure.
That's great. So there's lots to do here. There's lots of potential dream alchemy things. On a very simple level, I'd probably spend some time thinking about how much of your of what you've got from your grandmother, or what you admire in your grandmother, is you want to pack away, and what you want to take with you, what you can do that. I'd be thinking of always being respectful of that feeling you had in the park of my solitude, and the feeling of meaningfulness. To always be respectful of that, and to give that part of yourself really a lot of time and energy. And as for dream alchemy, there are so many possibilities there. The one that occurs to me, or two occur to me. One, obviously, read Life of Pi again, just to see what it brings up. And one would be to maybe write a little story about another tiger, not Life of Pi Tiger, about another tiger that is at that airport in your dream, and it's not a dangerous tiger. It just happens to look like a tiger, and it's got tiger energy, but it's completely safe. And to write a little like 2-page story, like you might write for a 5-year-old or something, about the tiger that took the plane trip. And it can be, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but it can be about why wasn't sure about catching the plane and why he did, and how he or she felt when the plane took off. But just something that you're essentially exploring that tiger energy within yourself, and we want to get it on the plane and lifting off, which doesn't mean leaving British Columbia, but it means moving to some other place within your life. So that I would do. And the other one I would do, if you're at all interested in, if you're at all good with colours, which I mean, this one wouldn't work for me, is get colour pencils and paints and actually paint that bag. I it wouldn't work for me, because I wouldn't be able to do it. It would just be an absolute mess on paper. But I think you'd probably be able to do that, or to make it in fabric. Not exactly the same as in the dream, but just to recreate that sense of the bag. But not, and this is a key bit, Kat, not planning or organizing it beforehand, just kind of getting some stuff together and just doing it anyway and going with the flow and seeing where it takes you.
That would tie in very well with my interests at the moment, actually.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's brilliant. That's so good. Okay, we've probably spent quite a lot of time for a podcast, which I'm totally happy with, but I do want to make sure that if there are any other questions that you wanted to ask before we wrap it.
This was, I think, in a way, such a different experience than I was expecting, that I don't even know. I think this has been good. I can't
Yeah.
think of anything else
You
to
can't find your speaking
offer.
voice because you're still at that deeper
Oh.
level of processing change. Yeah,
Yes.
okay. Okay, well, look, thank you so much for being a wonderful guest on the Dream Show.
Oh,
And
thank you.
stay in touch with me personally and let me know how things turn out.
I
And
will.
thank you.
Thanks.
It's always such a pleasure to engage with a guest who courageously brings their dream for us to explore and for all of you to listen to and enjoy. So I'm sure that you did enjoy that. If you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show, just go to my website at janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. janeteresa.com. Go to the main menu, go to Podcast The Dream Show and you'll find a drop-down box there on being a guest on the show. All you have to do is put your name down, your email address. Don't tell me anything about your dream, just a couple of sentences about yourself, and I'll get in contact with you within a couple of days and work out when you can come on. It's a wonderful gift that you can give people to share your dream and explore it with me, for people to not only gain more insight into how to explore and interpret their own dreams, but also just to bring up various topics about life in general that are always meaningful and insightful to listen to, I think. And if you're listening to this in real time, if you're running off and listening to this on the day that actually comes out, we are days away from 2024. So I wish you a peaceful and extraordinary 2024. And if you're listening to this a long time after that, well, I wish you a peaceful and extraordinary life in any case. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.